right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, people really don't know, or maybe they do know, how good they have it if they live in an area where they don't have to fear, you know, a lot of crime. Can you imagine, Connor, very seldom hearing police sirens in the night?
Yeah, the city is kind of nuts if you think about it. Like, from a child's perspective, it's like you're growing up in this place and you hear all these sounds, everything from police sirens to machinery to people yelling to, you know, conversations. Stores, businesses, it's a lot. And even if it's not specifically crime ridden, like
right.
places where I grew up in, it's a lot. It can cause a lot of anxiety, you know, because like, and you don't really know anybody that's around you because it's a city. It's weird. You have these places, these concentrations of individuals, but in those places, people usually don't connect with their community as much in a place where there's less people at, in a smaller town. I was just always trained to look past people when I'm walking next to them. You know, I couldn't imagine growing up in a place like that.
You know, man, part of that is it's supposed to make you a stronger person.
Yeah, that's the idea.
If by growing up in an environment like that, and you know, the people that I know who've grown up in New York, Chicago, L.A. and those kinds of places, that they're, I don't want to say fearless, but they've got a different perspective on all things, I guess, because you see the life is a completely different kind of life than, say, someone who lives in Waukesha, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you, and the worst part about all of that is when you grow up as a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
As adults, you can navigate that. But yesterday was a prime example. You ever hear the Kia Boys?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well, the Kia Boys, guys maybe a little younger than you, maybe a couple years younger than you. And what they do is they steal Kia cars, right? They found out that the Kia cars are the easiest cars in the world to steal. And so they crack the column on the Kias, the Kia car, and then they use, all it takes is a plug, a recharger for your cell phone. Mm. And they stick that in, and the car starts. So, man, these young people from 12 years old, 10 years old, on up to 20, have been stealing Kia cars. Man, I mean, last year, 12,000 in Milwaukee, 12,000 cars.
That's a lot of cars.
That were stolen. And Chicago, as big as it is, they had 9,000. So you imagine a small, comparable in size, the people, the, you know, amount of people in Milwaukee and the amount of people in Chicago. Chicago's four or five times as large, but yet Milwaukee had more stolen cars. So I'm driving home yesterday, and I see this Kia on the playground. And you usually can tell, because the one thing they do once they steal the Kia cars is it's a badge of honor. You gotta wreck it, right? You gotta run into it. You got to tear the front end up and yet still drive it. So I don't know what's going on in the heads of young people today. I really don't. But this is what they do, man. And they drive reckless. And it's an epidemic in the city of Milwaukee, as well as some other places. But so I see these young people. I see the car. They're so bold that they park the car right in the middle of an asphalt playground, and they get out and they start playing basketball. Hmm. And knowing that if the police see them, they know it's the Kia, and they know that it's been stolen, they're going to take chase. And so you just see these young people, man, who are fearless. They don't care whether they live or die. And they don't care whether they take anybody with them. So when you imagine growing up in a society like that, where, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old, you don't care whether you live or die. Have you ever run across people that young, man, who don't care whether they live or die?
I mean, it's not even something. I mean, that's a lot more common than I think what people think. I mean, I remember being in grade school, dealing with a lot of my friends in whom had that way of thinking. I mean,
in grade school,
or not grade, or I want to say
middle school.
Middle school, sorry.
Right.
Seven to ninth grade around. It's like, I remember back then, you know, and I mean, even to this day, you know, I mean, I've personally felt like that. I think it's just a problem with purpose, I feel. I feel like a lot of young people, I mean, this is a common problem with pretty much every youth of every generation, right? From the millennials to Gen Xers and such, is like the feeling of purposelessness. You know, feeling that, especially with technology, access to so many experiences, so many new opportunities, so much information, it kind of numbs you.
So you know. So listen, I know we've got to go to a break, yep. Man, but I want you to hold that thought, because you mentioned the technology and I wonder what role, if any, that plays in it. You know, the fact that you have this at your fingertips. And can communicate with people from all over the world. Listen, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Phone lines are open. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.